Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
For Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you're able to join me today. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you again, because today we got an excellent or an outstanding topic to look at today, one that I have not discussed, one that deals with the importance of holiness, godliness, righteousness, etc., associated with evangelism. And people think that sharing the gospel is something that is used, and it's something easy in the area of being able to say and able to formulate the right words when talking to somebody. But there's another aspect that we need to look at today, and that is making sure your life coincides with the Word of God, because that is where the power comes from. It comes through conviction, come through knowing that you are living according to the Word. So before we begin, let's begin with the word of prayer. Lord, we just pray, God, that as we come before you today, that we come before you in your spirit, work says it's not my power, it's not my life, but it's my spirit. Lord, we pray that, Lord, your host today will be filled with the Spirit, that the listeners and the iniquity, Lord, we ask that you forgive us, that we give it to you, Lord, for those hearing that. Pray, Father, wash us all from life. Pray, Father, even for those that not know you, come to know you through the things that you today. We pray that Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to today begin with discussing the importance of holy living, righteousness, of God and living, how that is associated with sharing the gospel. And I wanted to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, deals with the topic of hypocritical judgment. So Jesus sharing, ministering the Word of God, he was opposed by the Pharisees, scribes, priests. And one of the reasons why he was used there ministry or refute their witnessing a witness is because of the fact that they were critical in their judgment, meaning that they would actually say, don't sit back to themselves. So one of the things that you'll find in evangelism is that conviction that you need to preach God's word comes from the fact that you're living in accordance with, and I don't want to necessarily get into what sins to success. That's something that is like in itself, because it's very clear that, you know, first Jesus set us free from sin, and sin no longer is our master. Sin is no longer our master, who believe it's set free. But from time to time, there's sins that are committed that will hinder. And we're going to look at the deceiving of the spirit, or as far as the quenching of the spirit. So what you want to do is to make sure that you're not hypocritical in your judgment. So that is what hinders you from witnessing. So he said in Matthew chapter 7, do not judge, lest you be judged. Now this verse is often taken out of context, and he's not saying that we're not to accept judge truth, because other verses say that clearly, that we are to be prudent, respected, are to assess the fruit of others. So obviously, that's not what that meant as far as not judging. He says it's the first two. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So what is he saying again? That if you're having a rod of measure, and you are not even, you fall short using that rod, or the rod that you're using, you don't use for yourself, then he's saying now, if you're going to judge, then judge using the same measure regarding yourself. Verse 3, and why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? So what is he saying now? That if a person has clear evidence of sin in their life, and yet you look at their life, and you, your own life, have the same sin, then he's saying first, get the speck that's in your eye, first eliminate your life, before you can help any other person. So he's not saying that judging is wrong. Assessing one's sin and the sins of others is very important in evangelism. Because how do you know who to witness to unless you are assessing the fruit of others? But in this particular case, he's saying regarding the person that they have to make sure that they do not have sin in their own life. Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck that's in your eye and behold the log that's in your own eye? Be hypocrite. It's the hypocrite. It's that you're acting like on stage, that you're saying one thing, but in actuality you're something else. Be hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the sex out of your brother's eye. So what are you saying? First, like I mentioned earlier, you have to make sure your life is in accordance with God's word before you're able to help anyone else. So you have to get your life, your ministry, your personal lifestyle in order before you can go out and share the gospel with other people. The reason why I didn't want to list multiple sins is because if I miss one, a person is going to think that that's not an issue in their own life. But if anything in their life will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's why in Ephesians, the Bible tells us that we are to and can breathe the Holy Spirit. If you are willing and you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because he tells us that do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. And before this, what verses that precede this talks about speaking the truth to one another and being angry, not sinning, and not giving do not let any unwholesome words proceed from your mouth other than that which is edifying or giving grace to the ear, or laying aside bitterness and wrath and anger. So, you know, this year, clearly the Bible talks about various types of sinners, both before and after dealing with the stuff that grieving the Holy Spirit. But sin will hinder not only your prayer. Scripture is very clear, if you have iniquity in your heart, your prayers are hindered, but also if there's sin in your life, then it's going to hinder the Spirit and his work in the ministry or in evangelism, because the Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that it's not by power or not by might, but by my Spirit. Actually, that's just Zechariah. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so it's the Holy Spirit who works, but as we see in this verse, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that confession, before any outreach, there should be a period of confession and cleansing so that any known sins that you confess before God, sin will hinder you from witnessing, because sin grieves the Spirit of God. So with unconfessed sin in your life, you do not have the power to witness to God's Spirit. So if you're not witnessing to God's Spirit, that means that you are operating in your own spirit. That means you're operating in the flesh. So it looks like we have a caller here. Let me encourage those who are interested in calling. Call 646-200-4203. 200-4203. So as I was mentioning earlier, one of the verses in 1 John 1 says that if you confess your sins, you will be restored. God says he's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. So if we admit our guilt, he will forgive us, because Galatians chapter 5 clearly talks about or discusses that when a person is walking in the Spirit, that he's going to demonstrate certain characteristics. But also, when a person is walking in the flesh, you'll see the same characteristics. And he says that it grieves, not only grieves, but hinders. And in addition to that, also, it says that don't walk in the flesh, because you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it looks like we have a caller here. So we're going to have take this caller right now.
Thank you for calling.
You are officially on the air. And it appears that you have a question today. I ask this caller. Are you ever too young to
witness?
To witness?
Yes.
That's an excellent question that we have today from our caller. And it appears that how old are you?
I'm 6.
6 years old. Now, that's pretty interesting that we would have a 6-year-old calling in today and discussing or asking, is it ever too old? I hope that this 6-year-old understands the gospel, but I think I would encourage her that if whatever she knows, that she can always share. So if you're never too young, even at the age of 6, that's around the time learn to, but we kind of see the role of parents and the importance of the parents sharing with their children, because they can, in fact, return and share with others. So you never too young to witness. And if your heart is bent towards sharing the gospel with the king, then I would say you probably in Sunday school somewhere. You go to church?
Yes.
Okay, and you are in Sunday school?
Yes.
And are you memorizing verses right now?
Yes.
Bible?
Yes.
Okay. What's your favorite Bible verse?
Matthew.
Matthew? Which verse? Matthew your favorite book of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you think of a memory verse that you've been working on lately?
Yes.
What is that verse?
Well, I don't think it's in Matthew, but I think it's Daniel, and it's,
it's
50, so our God will deliver us from the fullness of blazing fire. I don't really know the rest, but I'm learning it.
And even if he does not, let it be known that we will not bow down and serve and worship. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's from the book of Daniel. So Daniel was taken to some strong stand. And I think you can share that with us. And you can help us to understand the one true God that you serve. So I think just taking the verses that you have, because it's always God's word. If you have God's word in your heart, you can always use that to share someone else. So we're so glad that you called, and tell your mommy and daddy that they're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. It's so good to know that there are still young people out there who are interested in sharing the gospel. So I want to commemorate those parents of that child. In addition, as we get back to what we were discussing, so glad that she called in. And we're not talking about just beginning your day and just asking God to show you any unconfessed sin in your life, even though that's very important that you do start the day that way. I think even in the book of John, chapter 13, where you saw Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and how he girded himself up with the shroud, and then he built bent over after getting a basin of water, and he began to wash his disciples' feet with a towel. One thing that we know is that he was saying to Peter that he not only needed to be saved and he needed to be cleansed from head to toe, but also after being saved, in verse 12 it says, "The wind has washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table again." He said to them, "Do you know that what I've done to you?" So Peter, let me go back to verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet." But Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." So Jesus, knowing that these men were believing in him, but he was reiterating that when you take a bath, you normally wash your whole body. And so when you come to Christ, you're saved and you're sanctified and set apart unto God. But you need to make sure that daily you cleanse your feet, because your feet steps in trash, steps in dung. Your feet, as you walk through life, you normally fall into sin, not that you remain in it, but you do an act of sin. And so he's saying basically you need to cleanse your feet, wash your feet. And that's what you do when you confess your sins in the morning, is that you confess your sins and you ask the Lord to forgive you, and which is called repentance. So you live a lifestyle of repentance. So if you are sincere with yourself and God, you will truly repent and ask God to forgive you. So that's one of the things that you do regarding the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Regarding grieving the Holy Spirit is that you want to make sure that you confess your sin and that you deal with the sin. It looks like we may have another caller here, and we're going to make sure we talk to our callers today. But I wanted to ask you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, we're dealing with the topic of, we had mentioned grieving the Holy Spirit, but also you can also quench the Spirit. Now, grieving is that what you're supposed to do, you don't do. And quenching is that you're doing something you're not supposed to do. Okay? So Scripture is very clear that that God is passing. And example of that is that the Spirit of God is saying to you that you should go and share the gospel. If you're not sharing, doing that, that means you're quenching His Spirit, and you can grieve by doing something you're not supposed to be doing. So make sure I got those words. So it looks like we have another caller here, and we're going to take that call.
All right.
I'm Joel
Glovel. All right. Thanks for joining us today. Did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to say a voice.
Okay. What's your memory verse?
Well, I was going to say John 3:16.
Okay.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
All right.
Yes. Well, thank you.
I like talking to
people about Jesus.
Okay. Where are you able to do that? Sports.
I go to sport.
What sport are you in?
I'm in gymnastics.
Okay. So there are plenty of girls there that don't look right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm so glad you're learning your verses. That's very important to those here at the gospel. So we appreciate you calling. And your parents are doing a great job. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 9.
9 years old. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
No problem. Bye.
Okay. So again, we appreciate young people today, and I know that today young people are bombarded with so many different distractions and deterrents and things like that to keep them from coming to Jesus. But the thing is that there are, God does have a remnant out there. God does have people out there that are teaching and training their children to share the gospel. So getting back to our topic, looking in 1 Thessalonians and discussing quenching the spirit, that is, quenching the spirit is that if you're doing something that you should not be doing, and this is pertaining to sin, then that is how the spirit of God is quenched. So evangelism, it's impossible to share the gospel without the Holy Spirit and his empowerment, because Jesus said that when the spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. And he said you would receive power. So power through the Holy Spirit, and I mentioned the verse, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, is evident that you need the Spirit of God in order to share the gospel. We know the Spirit of God is the one who convicts and who has, reveals truth, who opens blind eyes. And so, you know, the Spirit is the one that does the work. Therefore, you don't want to quench the fire of God's Spirit without it. With sin, because, you know, that fire that we're talking about, the fire that comes through the Holy Spirit can be put out through sin. So believers are instructed not to grieve the Holy Spirit, as we read in Ephesians 4:30, but also be controlled by the Spirit. Now, we didn't mention that because Ephesians 5:18 says that do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So we are to be controlled by the Spirit like an alcoholic or someone who is intoxicated is controlled by the liquor or the alcohol, then the believer is controlled by God the same way. And I mentioned earlier that we are to walk by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. That says that we are to walk in the Spirit, so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And how important is that in evangelism as far as you walking in the Spirit? These things are very crucial, very important to those who share the gospel. And so I wanted to touch on those today. I think one of the things that, other than confessing your sin, a lot that is done using your prayer power. Because what God will do is that God will not only, as you pray for him, to empower you to go out with him, but he'll bring to light the sin. And that's a struggle that so many of us have to make. And I don't know, maybe this is the reason why the church and members within the body of Christ are not with us, because materialism causes all the other hindrances that go on in daily life are hindering us from speaking. Evangelism is the number one priority. And so, you know, it's important that in the time of prayer, even praying for lost people, even praying that God will bring people into your life, share the gospel. That's so very important. And so let me encourage you that if you're listening today and God has called you to be evangelist and actually according to Scripture, we're all called to share the gospel. It's so important that we spend time in prayer and we spend time confessing our sins. That, you know, the Bible is very clear that he saved us, he set us apart, according to Book of Titus, that he instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and that we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that verse, that sanctification is that we should live godly, holy, and righteous, but also one of the things that you do is that the reason why you do live righteous and godly is that you are looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ, so that when he appears, we will be like him, but also that we will not be ashamed of his coming. And so, according to 1 John chapter 3, it says, everyone who has this hope, meaning his return, purifies himself just as he is pure. So, if we know Christ,
If you know Jesus is soon, if his return is imminent, then you know what you're going to do. You're going to live a life that's pure for God. You're going to live a life understanding that the Lord could return any moment, and you're living in reference to him. You're living knowing that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, that he watches, you know, he goes on in the light as well as in the dark. And so he knows. Therefore, you're going to live a life accordance with that. And not only does God know, but he could return for his church any moment. And so, according to Scripture, it says, and now little children abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So again, Scripture clearly teaches that those who are born of God, those who are in Christ, live righteously before him. And the thing about living righteously and having your eyes or your hope fixed on him and living pure before him is that you're constantly know that with his soon return, that you're obeying his word and that you're sharing the gospel, and the Spirit of God is not being quenched and not being free. So let me encourage you today, you are a believer, that live as if every moment is your last moment. Live in from the perspective that Jesus Christ is coming. I think if you're an unbeliever, that you too need to be aware of the fact that he is coming. He is coming to judge the living and the dead. And how should you live? You should live with the understanding that Christ will come, and that if your sins are not atoned, meaning that you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then if he comes and you still remain, because upon death comes judgment, but if you are alive and coming and the rapture takes place, not only will you be left behind, but he will one day come to judge this dead. And that is a period of time after the tribulation period where God will judge. But he wants to deal with your sins now. So if you confess your sins now, if you bow the knee now, if you honor him as Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you will be forgiven, you will be saved. So there's no sin that you could have committed. God will not forgive you. We talk about some sins that are committed among believers, and in the body of Christ, there are every sin that's in the Bible has been committed. But the only sin that God will not forgive is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you that as you listen today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, death, his burial, his resurrection, that Jesus Christ is God, that he is born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he came to atone and to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, and to prove that he was God, resurrected from the dead, and he very clearly spoke about judgment and hell, and the result of those who did not repent. They all follow Christ. That is what he requires of you, and in doing so, the Bible is very clear. So once again, thank you for joining me. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he turn his countenance that you might be blessed.